The epistle for today, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, all we who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death, for we were buried with him by means of baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ has risen from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be so in the likeness of his resurrection also. For we know that our old self has been crucified with him, in order that the body of sin may be destroyed, that we may no longer be slaves to sin. For he who is dead is acquitted of sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live together with Christ. For we know that Christ, having risen from the dead, dies now no more. Death shall no longer have dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives unto God. Thus do you consider yourselves also as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Taken from that of St. Mark. At that time, when there was a great crowd with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples together and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away to their homes fasting, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from a distance. And his disciples answered him, How will anyone be able to satisfy these with bread here in the desert? He asked them, How many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he bade the crowd recline on the ground. Then taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to distribute, and they set them before the crowd. And they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them and ordered them to be distributed. And they ate and were satisfied, and they took up what was left of the fragments, 7 baskets. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he dismissed them. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. We'll begin this sermon with the Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Marietta was born not very long ago. Her family was poor. She didn't have a ball to play with. They would just play with stones. In fact, she never owned a doll. She never learned to read or write, and she had to work. She was usually tasked with the family grocery shopping. Her mother, who was a widow, would do the farm labor, the heavy labor in the field, and so she, Marietta, did the cooking, did the grocery shopping. One time when she went to the grocery store, the grocer wanted to give her a gift, so he gave her an apple, and she thanked him for it and put it in the bag. He thought she was going to eat it, but he asked her, well, what are you going to do with it? And she said, well, I'm going to give it to my baby brother. He really likes apples. And then he said, well, let me give you a cookie. So he gave her a cookie, and to his surprise, she didn't eat it. She just put it in her bag. He asked her what she was going to do with that. And she said, well, I'm going to give it to my little sister. So finally, the grocer insisted that she have something for herself. So he gave her another cookie. And to be polite, Marietta ate the cookie right in front of him, thanked him, and went on her way. Now, Marietta made her first Holy Communion. She was about 10 years old. And shortly after her first communion, she was on her way to the well to draw water. She was waiting her turn, and she overheard several girls talking, and she was scandalized because their conversation wasn't very good, is unbecoming language. And what scandalized her most is that these children had also received their first Holy Communion with her. So from that day forward, she went at another time to go draw water from the well in order to avoid the bad companions. Marietta dressed simply and decently, even in summer, and she was satisfied with whatever her mother gave her or the neighbors gave her. She had a chaste beauty that inspired respect. 20-year-old Alexander was a tenant farmer on the same farm as Marietta's family. In fact, he lived in the same building. And Alexander didn't indulge in drinking. He went to the sacraments. He said the family rosary. Marietta's mother, Assunta, claimed that he treated her and the rest of her family respectfully. However, before tenant farming with Marietta's family, he had a job on a fishing boat, and there he made some bad friends. And in these surroundings, it was not easy for him to keep his purity. He developed bad habits, and he declined morally and spiritually. Well, things were fine when there was plenty of work to do, but then the winter set in, and the monotony and the boredom of winter came, and then the desolation of the marshes, the kind of a marsh area where they lived, he kind of sort of turned in on himself a little bit. He would spend a lot of time in his room, and he admitted that vain dreams and longings took possession of him. He said he began to seek escape in reading violent books, impure books. He kept impure images in his room, on the walls of his room. Just a few weeks after Marietta's first communion, Saturday, July 5th, Marietta had one thought on her mind as she went through her round of duties for the day, and she mentioned this several times to her mother. Her one thought that was really focusing her attention was her desire to receive Holy Communion the next day. In fact, she was planning on walking to the next village, not her own village, but walking to the next one so that she could go to the priest for confession, because the priest in her village didn't have faculty, so she was going to walk in the heat to the next village so she could make sure she would receive Holy Communion the next day. Well, while everyone else was at work, Marietta was doing some sewing, watching the baby, as she was supposed to do, and everyone else was tilling the fields, Alexander made an excuse and went into the house. He brushed past her, and it was discovered later that he actually went downstairs and sharpened a knife. He called to Marietta. She wanted to know what he wanted, because he had made advances before. She was afraid of him, and she was very careful to guard herself. Well, he grabbed her by the arm and drug her inside. He wanted to force her to consent to sin. By his own testimony later, she said to him, quote, "What are you doing, Alexander? No, I will not. It is a sin. God does not want it. You will go to hell. What are you doing, Alexander? You will go to hell." Close quote. Think about this. In the midst of this, she's worried about his soul. So, something snapped in Alexander, as he said later, and he just began stabbing her. He stabbed her 14 times. He threw the knife away and then locked himself in his room. When they found Maria, she was asked, "Who did this?" She said, "It was Alexander. He wanted me to commit sin, and I would not." When she arrived at the hospital, her mother, Assunta, was asked if she wanted to take the time to have her daughter have her confession heard. Keeping in mind, this is a life-death situation. They asked her if she wanted the confession heard before the surgery. And the mother said, this good Catholic mother, said, "Yes, hear her confession before doing anything else." Well, in the morning, the parish priest came and brought Holy Viaticum to Marietta, and he asked her explicitly if she pardoned Alexander for love of Jesus. Without a moment's hesitation, Marietta replied, "Yes, so do I pardon him for love of Jesus, and I wish him to join me in paradise." Her face lit up with joy when she received our Blessed Lord in Holy Communion. And she said of Alexander later, "May God forgive him as I have already forgiven him." Well, as the bells were ringing for Vespers on the Feast of the Precious Blood, the feast on which the antiphon at Vespers reads, "Why are thy garments red, and thy vestments as one who has trodden in the winepress?" Marietta, who was baptized with the name Maria Teresa Goretti, calmly breathed her last. It was 3 o'clock on Sunday, the 6th of July, 1902, the Feast of the Precious Blood. During the trial, Alexander was proud. He tried to say that Marietta had consented before, drug her name through the mud. The media, which was anti-Catholic, didn't like the idea of this good Catholic girl, and they published Alexander's comments, and they were supporting him. He went to jail. He was sentenced to 30 years in prison. The first three were done in solitary confinement. And then something happened. He had a dream. He had a dream a few years into prison, and we'll let him relate it. He says, quote, "Maria appeared to me in a dream, gathering 14 lilies and handing them to me." Parenthetical comment. Keep in mind she was stabbed 14 times. Okay. "That broke me up badly, but my pride was still too strong. Many years were to pass before I fell to my knees and went to confession." After his release, a couple years after, Alessandro went to Assunta, who was now living in Coronado, Italy. He begged her for her forgiveness. He said, "Assunta, will you forgive me?" Assunta placed her hands on his head, caressed his face, and gently said, "Alessandro, Marietta forgave you. Christ has forgiven you. Why should I not forgive you? I forgive you, of course, my son. Why have I not seen you sooner? Your evil days are past, and to me you are a long-suffering son." It was Christmas at that time, and at that evening, the neighbors were surprised to see Alexander and the mother of the girl he murdered, side by side, receive Holy Communion. From that time on, the members of the Goretti family lovingly called him Uncle Alexander. It's quite a lot to think about here. Think about the gradual path that Alessandro took, which ultimately led to the murder. Bad companions, bad books, bad entertainment, violent entertainment. What he would have done in the age of video games, huh? Bad images. He didn't fill his mind with good images and thoughts, and he let the world fill his mind with its own images and its own ideas. Think about the steps that Maria took to foster her virtue of purity. Her martyrdom began long before Alexander approached her with the knife. Think about how she would deny herself legitimate pleasures. Saint Francis says that he who indulges the flesh in all that is lawful will end by yielding to it in what is forbidden. Think of Maria's generosity with her family, her avoidance of bad companions, her life of prayer. Even in the midst of her work, daily she would say the Holy Rosary. You know, the Council of Trent gives 7 steps, 7 means for practicing purity. See if you can find any of these at play in the story today. The first step for practicing purity, 7 means of practicing purity, according to the Council of Trent. The first, avoidance of idleness. Think about Alexander in those winter months. The second, temperance. Think about Maria and her temperance with regards to the cookie, the apple that she gave up. Custody of the eyes. Think about Alexander with those bad images. Avoidance of immodest dress. Avoidance of impure conversation, reading, pictures. Frequentation of the sacraments, confession, and Holy Communion along with prayer. And the 7th means for the practicing purity, according to the Council of Trent, mortification, denying ourselves simple, legitimate pleasures for the love of God. Well, Alessandro Serinelli died on May 6, 1970, and he left a statement before he had died. He had some kind of illness, so he knew he was going to die. He left a statement to youth. He said, quote, "Looking back at my past, I can see that in my early youth, I chose a bad path which led me to ruin myself. My behavior was influenced by print, mass media, and bad examples, which are followed by the majority of young people without even thinking, and I did the same. I was not worried. A violent force blinded me and pushed me toward a wrong way of life. I feel that religion, with its precepts, is not something we can live without. It is the only safe way in every circumstance. I ask pardon of the entire world for the crime I committed against the martyr Maria Goretti and against purity. I urge all of you to avoid immoral shows and all the dangerous occasions that can lead you to sin. Close quote. Alessandro Serinelli, the murderer of Saint Maria Goretti. Well, at her canonization, at which Maria's mother and her forgiven murderer sat side by side, Pope Pius XII said, "During the past 50 years, coupled with what was often a weak reaction on the part of decent people, there has been a conspiracy of evil practices propagating themselves in books and illustrations, in theaters and radio programs." Keep in mind, he's saying this in 1950. In styles of clothing and clubs and on the beaches, trying to work their way into the hearts of the family and society, and doing their worst damage among the youth. Why does this story, Maria's story, move you even to tears? Why has Maria Goretti so quickly conquered your hearts? The reason is because there is still in this world, apparently sunk and immersed in the worship of pleasure, an immense multitude on whom the supernatural fragrance of Christian purity exercises an irresistible and reassuring fascination. Pope Pius XII went on, "Dearly beloved youth, young men and women who are the special object of love of Jesus and of us, tell me, are you resolved to resist firmly with the help of divine grace against every attempt made to violate your chastity? You fathers and mothers, tell me, are you ready to assume the solemn duty laid upon you to watch, insofar as in you lies, over your sons and daughters, to preserve and defend them against so many dangers that surround them, and to keep them always far away from places where they might learn the practices of impiety and of moral perversion?" The Pope concluded, "Finally, all of you who are intently listening to our words, know that above the unhealthy marshes and filth of this world stretches an immense heaven of beauty. It is the heaven which fascinated little Maria, the heaven to which she belonged. She longed to ascend by the only road that leads there, which is religion, love of Christ, and the heroic observance of his commandments." Close quote. The Vicar of Christ, Pope Pius XII. Dearly beloved youth, who are the special object of the love of Jesus, are you resolved to resist firmly, with the help of divine grace, every attempt made against your chastity? Above the unhealthy marshes and filth of this world, there stretches an immense heaven of beauty. A heaven to which Maria longed to ascend by the only road which leads there, which is religion, the love of Christ, and the heroic observation of his commandments. May Saint Maria Goretti, may Our Lady the Rosary, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.